All right. That's right. That's right. You want to cut grass? It's out here. Even if you don't want to cut grass, it's out here. Yeah, I tried that. I don't want stuff to my dad, and I found out that didn't work. every man stand up. Every man. Every man. Ladies, let's give all these men. Whether you birth a child or not, if you have any, if you got your influence, you're a father. Amen. You can sit down. The hardest job you ever love. I just keep remembering. I think about it all the time. It made me so mad when it first happened. I honestly was the maddest I'd ever been with my kids. Ever. Now I just laugh at it. My mother was in the hospital. She was actually on the way out, but my daddy called me to help her because they had given her the wrong medicine and she had gone out of her mind. And so Beverly and I went up to see my mother, and while we're up there, I get a call from a young lady that had been at Benson with us. She was spending the weekend with us. She said, Brother David, I think you ought to come home. And I said, why should I come home? She said, because the law is surrounding your house. And I said, why is the law surrounding my house? I said, well, DC and Daniel. I said, okay. I said, what did they do? They were supposed to be down the block somewhere playing for a party. Him and his brother were playing guitars for a party down the block at the end of the cul-de-sac where nobody could hear them. And they said, well, I don't know what happened, but they brought the music in the backyard at the parsonage, and they're playing, and they've got about 100 to 200 people out here, and they're jamming, and they're having a ball, and somebody called the law, and now the law is getting to break up, and DC sitting outside talking junk to the law. And so I told my mama, I said, I'll be back eventually, mama. I said, if I don't go to jail first, I know I have to go to the hospital. I don't know. And I went home, and by the time I got home, they were just breaking everything up. And I said, why did you not do what you said you were going to do and play in the cul-de-sac? They said, well, Daddy, if you got so many people out there, there was not enough room. So we figured the parsonage had plenty of room. I said, but do you realize we've got neighbors all around us? They said they all loved it. They were out there raising their hands and having a good time too. I said, well, somebody did. And I said, worst of all, DC, you talk junk to the law constantly. You wouldn't be quiet. And so the next day we were dedicating Bethany. We had just adopted her. We were dedicating Bethany. And we got a picture, and DC and Daniel looked like the Cohanes. They're so upset. Because I told them that night, I said, boys, y'all just need to go to bed. Because if there ever come a chance I can come close to killing you, it's tonight. And they said, but Daddy, I said, don't but Daddy me. Just go to bed so nobody gets hurt. Their mama said, calm down, Dad. I said, there's no need to be calm. The law's out here. And all this stuff's going on. Go to bed before I literally said it, before I kill you. DC, look, he's shaking his head. I said, before I kill you. The next morning at church, they're just like this, and they went to their grandmama, and their grandmama came to me and said, they want to come home with me today. And she said, he said the craziest thing, DC. I said, he's always saying crazy things. He's like his mama. Yeah. And he said, you're going to kill them. They need to go home with me because you're going to kill them. And I said, well, I weren't really going to kill them. I just wanted to last night, but I've calmed down. I'm just going to maim them. So they're still playing and still having a good time. But praise God, fatherhood and motherhood both is really hard because it's the greatest joy. It's the greatest joy and the greatest pain at the same time. Amen. Now, and my hat is off to every father and every father figure. Because remember, whether you've got a kid or not, there are so many guys out there that are fathers of so many people and don't even realize it. People are watching you, and they're paying close attention to you. Amen? Now we're still going on this keeping your focus, because I don't want to get past this keeping your focus. And of course, this can be a Father's Day message, because this will be, hopefully, it'll be edifying fathers in the middle of all this. But there was this guy named Fred. Fred was unfortunate enough to be hit by a 10-ton truck. He landed up in the hospital in intensive care, and his best friend Morris came to visit him. Fred struggled to tell Morris. My wife Sally visits me 3 times a day. She's so good to me. Every day she reads to me at my bedside. He said, really, what does she read? She said, my insurance policy. Get your Bible out. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Isn't God good? All the time. Amen. This was something that started a couple weeks ago. I was actually praying and I was saying, Lord, we just need something to help us get a kickstart, to get going again, to get up and move forward. You know, we've had all these deaths. You know, I was talking to somebody just yesterday, in just a matter of a few months, we lost our oldest member, Sister Kathleen. In a matter of weeks, we lost Sister Mary, who was our next oldest member. And then I did Sister Kathleen's funeral Mary's funeral on Saturday. Then my own daughter's funeral on Sunday. She died. And then Brother Billy died. And we've had other guys in the community die. And now Sister Dorothy, she's having a rough time of it right now. She's at a nursing home. And so there's been a lot of stuff going on in the last few months. And I know everybody else's life, there's always something going on. But sometimes you have that time where more than usual stuff happens. Amen? You have that time where extraordinary things happen in the reverse. Not extraordinary good, but extraordinary bad. And you're trying to figure out how to get yourself back up, to kick yourself, to kickstart yourself, to get going again. So this is where this comes from. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Stand for the reading of the word. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. But it's one thing I do. Y'all say one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well on the throne. Father, I know there's absolutely nothing impossible for you. There's nothing that you cannot do. We trust you right now, Father, to minister to all of us, God, in a very powerful way. Help us all, Lord, to get back that unction, to get back that want to get back that, get back on our feet and get that second wind and to move forward in you and not instead of moving backwards or instead of sitting still. Let us get back up on our feet in the middle of all this and know that you're God and you have all this under control. In the name of Jesus, we love you. And we praise your name. And the church said, amen. God is so good. Matter of fact, we're going to do something else right now. Y'all can sit right still while I do it. We're going to do this. We're going to talk to our Father. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, we're talking about keeping our focus. Every once in a while, we'll wind up getting into rebuild mode. When we get in this rebuild mode, it's when God begins to take away the things that we were holding on to and to move the things out of the way that we were depending on, because sometimes we get so dependent on things that we forget that God doesn't want us dependent on things. God wants us dependent on Him. And so the rebuild mode, you know, God uses rebuild mode first to draw us out of complacency. We get so complacent that, well, it's just going to be this way and we got this and all, you know, everything's going to be hunky-dory. And also to get us out, draw us out of collapse. Because when I say collapse, sometimes we get so complacent, we even stop working for God. We just kind of go day by day and kind of go with the flow and go with the wind. And if we're not careful, the devil has rocked us to sleep. And then he draws out of us freshness. Once we get into this rebuild mode, now freshness can come out of us and we actually can start growing. I had to get that sign back in there because I love it. Let's do that again. Come here. Put it there. Do not touch. Not only will this kill you, it will hurt you the whole time you are dying. Don't touch that thing. Whatever that thing was for. Amen. Amen. So the rebuild mode. Again, here it is. It's a dangerous time because we can lose sight of what God is doing. And we got to realize God's not pushing you down. God's not pulling a rug out from under your feet. God's not trying to damage you. But God is trying to keep you from being damaged. God is trying to keep you from getting in this complacency and do it in a place of do nothing. And He wants us not to lose focus ourselves on us, because listen, what are we doing? We're not supposed to be discouraged now. This is the time of discovery. So here we go. Here it is. We started in last week. Our focus has unlimited value. Satan does not want us to understand or to realize the potential and the power and the position of an undivided focus. If we can get our mind, a while ago, it was so funny because sometimes I get playing and I just forget everything around me when I'm playing. And I didn't even know it. We were practicing and I was just playing. I just kept playing. And they told me after we got through playing, the DC was sitting here looking at me. He had quit playing. Brandon was still playing. I was playing. And DC would take his hand and just went like this back and forth on his guitar. And I didn't even know what was going on. I was so undivided. I had my mind on God and on blessings and on what God was speaking to my heart at the time. You know, if we could get ourselves, remember that we are supposed to have an undivided focus, we can find ourselves getting in the rebuild mode and doing something better than we've ever done in our entire life. Now, there's 10 things to focus on. Last week I went on 2, and today I'm going to go on 2, and then we're going to be able to go have some fun Father's Day stuff. Amen. Somebody say, have some fun Father's Day stuff. Amen. Number one, God, listen carefully. I want y'all to listen to this very carefully, because I think somebody really needs to hear this if they want to hear nothing else. God has called every one of us in here, and He has not got us to this place so He can drop us. Come on now. God has called everybody in this place, and He ain't got us to this place so that He can drop us and say, I'm through with you. I wipe my hands of you. I've got nothing else for you to do. God called you, and He's got you here not to drop you, but to pick you up. Praise the Lamb of God. God wants to do something special in everybody's life. You know, right here, Philippians 1:6, the Amplified Version. I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Christ, right up to the time of His return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. Think about this thing. The good work in you is God's. Amen. Anything good I do, I know God's got it. Anything good I do, I know God's working in this thing. You know, I can't even imagine, just like, again, these little armbands, you know, of course, I got on the one today that says God's got this, and on the other side that says either way I win. And in just the last 2 days, it seems like everywhere I go, I'm running into people with cancer and running into people that are sick and running into people that's got problems. And I think I've given out 10, 15, 20 of these in the last 2 days. I put it on, I step out the car and walk right into somebody. And they'll look at it and they'll say, wow, that's right, God's got this. And I'll say, well, here, and I'll give it to them. And I tell them about Bethany and I give it to them. And you know, see, God has not taken, look, Bethany's death was not the end of Bethany. It was not the end of Bethany speaking. It was not the end of Bethany's influence. Bethany seems to have done more now in such a way that she never could have done any other way. And I thank God for the influence of that 27-year-old girl. She may not be with us physically, but praise God, she's all over the place. I went to a restaurant where they were playing last night, and I went there, and there was people in that restaurant. And I looked, and they had God's Got This and Team Bethany on them all over the place. They'd raise their hand. I look and I see that little bandage. I go places and I don't even know the people. I look on their arm and they got a Team Bethany on their arm, or God's Got This. Or I hear them say, God's Got This, you know, or either way I win. It's just so amazing. God doesn't bring you here just to drop you, because He's got something special for you. He began it and He will complete it. He is the mighty God. Somebody say mighty God. Mighty God. Say it again. Mighty God. All right. Secondly, first, He didn't call you here to drop you. This is a good error. You see the church under construction? Are y'all under construction? Yeah, I'm putting in another room right here. Y'all remember what I told you? I said, you know, it's really slimmed down during Bethany's troubles and trying to get through with her. I got where I couldn't exercise like I was doing, and I got kind of pudgy again. But I said, you know what? All this stuff's going on in this world today, I have decided to identify as skinny. I am trans slender. Amen. So here we go. Look. Number two, He will build His church. The church is not a building. The church is us. Somebody say, He's working on you. He's working on me. Look, I love this. And I tell you, you are Peter, Greek, which means Petros, a large piece of rock. And upon this rock, Greek, a huge piece of rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal regions, shall not overpower it. Or to be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Remember last week I showed you this, and I've been doing it all week. I hope you have too. Watch this. The gates is where the wise men, the city met. It's where the council met. It was where the city was governed. It's where the lawyers met. It's where the court was held. It's where there were civil matters. The punishment was dealt there. Punishment was administered. But the thing about the gates were they're stationary. We always feel like the gates of hell are coming against us. No, the gates of hell are strongholds. And when strongholds are there, they're there to stop us from moving forward. Amen? That's what the gates do. They stop us from moving forward. They're a stronghold in our life. But when John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I was he that's dead, but now I'm alive, and behold, I have the keys. Amen? To death, hell, and the grave. Amen? So look, let me tell you something. It's time to start kicking some doors down and move forward. Amen? Quit laying back and letting the devil keep you all tied up in a stronghold. Step up forward and let God do something special in your life. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thank Him for what He does. Get ready. Number three. Oh, I love this one. Woo! Look at that. He will uphold you with His righteous right hand. See that hand in the fire? Wow. He did not promise to deliver you from the fire, but He did promise to walk through it with you. Come on now. He did not promise to deliver you from the fire, but He did promise to walk through it with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown in the fire, when the king looked in, he saw four men. Who was the fourth man? It was Jesus walking around in the fire with him. Look, Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel. We got to stop here and park for a little while because this is good stuff. Ready? I'm going to read it one more time, and then we're going to break her down. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall it be kindled upon thee. Now watch this. Let's just slow down and break it down. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Watch this. Here we go. He says first, he says, I have created thee, O Jacob. The word created means literally to form, to breathe life into. Okay? So he was shaped. God said, I've shaped you. God's breathed life into us. Amen. Every last one of us in here, if we're breathing, we're breathing the air that God gave us. Amen. We're breathing life that God gave us. That's pretty cool. Okay. Somebody say it's pretty cool. Now get ready. This ain't so cool. Ready? Y'all say this coming ain't so cool. All right. Y'all ready? And then he said, I formed thee, O Israel. I used to get so excited when I read that until I started seeing what it meant. And then I didn't get so excited anymore. Israel and Jacob are the same man. Jacob, God went, there it is, man, it's awesome. But Jacob wasn't in any position to really be used by God at the time. So God did something in his heart and in his life. And so he started going through some rough things. He got Laban. His brother came after him. There's all this stuff that was going on in his life because Jacob had some rough edges. Anybody here got any rough edges? More than rough edges, Jacob had some bent edges. He had some broke off edges. Amen? And so God said, in order for me to use you, Jacob, I'm going to have to squeeze you. Don't it feel good when you're on the wheel, the potter's wheel, and you think that, oh, I'm a pretty vessel. And God goes, no, you're not. Come here. let's squeeze you some more because I'm not sure you're exactly what I want you to be to do what I want to use you for. Amen. Well, I was just planning on holding a couple of flowers up on the couch. No, that's not what you're going to do. I've called you to be a very powerful man of God. So in order to be a very powerful man of God, I got to put you through some powerful things. You know, I had a guy come up to me. And he just found out some things in his life that really, really was just made him distraught. He had never faced anything like this before. And he came up to me and he says, I don't know what to do. He said, the craziest thing is they just made me deacon at my church. He said, now after I get to be deacon, everything was wonderful. He said, I get in church and start serving God. And he said, I'm still looking, everything's looking good. And he says, then when they asked me to serve and start doing things around there, he said, things started changing. And when I took that deacon's position, he said, good Lord. He said, this hit me. And I won't go into what hit him, but he just goes into what hit him. And it would take the breath out of you. And I told him, I'm getting ready to tell y'all. I said, the Lord told me way on back when DC and Daniel's mama got sick, right after my mama got sick, buried my mama, and it wasn't just a few years we buried his mama. And all that stuff was going on. And I said, God, I don't understand this. I said, I told you I wanted to be used by you, but I'm kind of feeling abused. Well, come on. And God said, in order for me to use you greatly, I have to break you greatly. Wow. That'll make you shout, won't it? Before I can use you greatly, I got to break you greatly. Because David Linton, you get in your way so much. You put those 13s in your mouth so much. You get in your way. You do things that you shouldn't. You listen, I got better ways to do it, and you're doing it the odd way. I'm trying to show you a better way to get this done. I'm trying to make you more effective. So in order to use you greatly, I got to break you greatly. And I told that to this person, my brother. I told my brother this. And he went, whoa. He said, you know what? Now I understand and I feel better. Although I'm still hurting from what's happening, I feel better. Watch this. God formed you. But if God's going to use you, there's that shaping. There's that squeezing. There's that remolding you. The vessel became marred on the potter's wheel, Jeremiah 18. The vessel became marred on the potter's wheel, but instead of throwing it away, he just took it and he just redone it right there on the wheel. He just fixed it back up and made it like he wanted it. Amen? So, created, formed, and then redeemed. He said, I saved you. That meant he bought you back. So he created you along the way. You may have messed up along the way. Things didn't go so well in your life. Maybe you're in your breaking mode. I don't know. But God says, don't worry about it because in the end, I got this. I got it. I got it. I got it. I look down here hundreds of times a day and I keep seeing God's got this. And I can see Bethany back there, right there where DC sitting. I see Bethany back there every day in my mind. I see her come walking in. I remember she come walking in with that pump on. And she said, Daddy, this pump stinks. And she said, this pump, there's this wound pump. She says, and it keeps making noises like I'm over here breaking wind. I said, I tell you what you do, baby. Next time that thing goes, I said, you just go and point at the person beside you. So I don't know who she was sitting beside that day, but that thing went, and she went. And I saw that person go. So we just made games out of things. We just played. We just played all the time. We just all the time cut up and we played, but I see it every day. And I just told somebody just a couple of days ago, I said, if I ever get faced with that kind of whatever in my life, I wouldn't have that same kind of attitude. God's got this either way I win. It's going to be okay. So now, here we go. One more. And I have called you. I've summoned you for a purpose. So I've shaped you. I squeezed you. Everybody goes through this. Everybody. Look and say everybody. If you're going to be used by God, you're born. You're shaped. You're squeezed. Life will squeeze the life out of you. Then, but he's there. He's paying for it. He's got you covered. And then he still calls you for a purpose. And that is so, so awesome. Amen. This is not necessarily the Father's Day message you came for, but praise God, it's here. Amen. And then we're at his place. We're safe. He said, I got you. I got you. I got you. And then finally, here it is. I love this. Disappointments are just God's way of saying, I've got something better. Can you say that? Disappointments are just God's way of saying, be patient, have faith, and trust God. You see, I'm telling you, sometimes we put too much faith in the wrong thing. We put too much faith in wrong ideas and put too much faith in wrong areas. And God says, hold on, hold on. I'm still going to use you. I still got something for you. I haven't dropped you. I still got you. But in order for me to do what I want to do in your life, you're going to need a little bit more shaping. You're going to need a little bit more sandpapering. You're going to need a little bit more cutting on this side and cutting on that side. But you be patient, because I got something for you, and it's better than you ever could imagine. You may be disappointed now, but understand, there's something better coming. Somebody say it. There's something better coming. Y'all sounded so enthusiastic. Y'all standing in line for a root canal. Come on. There's something better coming. Say it again. There's something better coming. All right. Watch this. There's more in store for your life and for your ministry. You know, if you look at the Bible tells us in Hosea 10 and 12, it says to break up the fallow ground. Break up the fallow ground that's within you. It says, seek the Lord, break up the fallow ground. You know what fallow ground is? I remember when I lived in Pamlico County and I lived at Merritt, we had fields all over everywhere. We were just in the middle of fields. And I remember every year when it come harvest time, it was always so cool. I just loved it. I loved to smell the stuff and smell all the what was going on, the growing and the corn and whatever was out there, the beans. And I would watch every year, and I didn't quite understand at the time. I talked to Daddy. I said, Daddy, I was little. I looked out there, and they had harvested. And I mean, it was just great old big fields. And they had harvested everything, and it was just bent over corn. Corn stalks bent over and crushed, and there may be a couple of corn cobs here and there, and they would come through, and it would just devour it, kind of like my brothers at the dinner table, kind of like DC and Daniel at the dinner table, just devour it. And I'd climb over there and play, and I would remember how hard that ground was. There was roots, there was stubble. There was pieces of evidence from the former harvest, but the land was dead. Listen to what I just said. There was evidence of a previous harvest, but the land was dead. When I was young, how many like going when the sand is cool and you're hot and you go barefoot and you go step in that cool sand, how good it felt to get on in your feet and get in your toes. But on that ground, after it was harvested, it was hard. It was almost like calloused. You could say the land was calloused over. Bits and pieces of corn and stalks and just calloused over. You could go down and pick up pieces, and it would just be pieces of dirt, and it'd be big old clunks of dirt. We'd go out there and play with them and throw them at each other. I read this scripture, and as I read the scripture, and I began to look at it, it took me back to my childhood. Because fallow ground is that ground that I'm talking about. Fallow ground is ground that has evidence of a harvest, but it's crusted over, it's hard, it's calloused, it's got broken pieces, it's just terrible. I remember every year when I was a little boy, I couldn't wait for the guy there with the disc, and they would get the disc, the big old tractors would get the disc, and they'd come through and they would disc it up. And when they disc it up, you could smell it again. It smelled wonderful. And when they disc it up, I could go right there and run again because it was soft. And you, all the evidence of the previous harvest was actually gone because within a matter of days, there was hills planted. And in the hills, there was more crops planted. And then the crops, within weeks, the crops would be up where you could see them coming up. And I got and watch them grow. And it used to excite me. This scripture. I asked my daddy one time, I said, Daddy, why do they, because my daddy was a farmer when he was young. I said, Daddy, why do they have to go up there and cut up all this ground? Why don't you just go ahead and throw some more stuff out there? He said, Son, that ground's not good for anything right now. That ground's, for all practical purposes, is dead. He said, because it's cold and it's calloused and it's got all this stuff in the way. It's got remnants from the first harvest is in the way. And says, the farmers have to go out with a disc and they have to cut it up. They don't just plow it up. They cut it up with that disc. And when they cut up that ground, then they reshape it and get it ready with mounds. And then they replant in it. Again, fallow ground. Hosea was talking to some people that had just returned from captivity. These were people that in their hearts, they had remnants of a previous harvest. But now they're cold and they're calloused and they've got broken stalks and they've got scattered corn and their heart is crusted over. And Hosea says, it's time to seek the Lord. Break up, disc it, hair it, the fallow ground that is cold and calloused. Still has remnants, but that's all. You may every now and then see a little stalk come up, but that's it because the ground is, for all practical purposes, has become useless. Am I speaking to somebody today? That if you could see in your heart, it'd be like that fallow ground. It'd be cold, stalks, remnants of a previous harvest. Well, there's proof there that you worked for God. There's proof there that you did something. But it's cold, calloused, rubbed over. You're not even hearing from God anymore. Like you used to. You're not as excited as you used to be. You're not even looking for the harvest because the ground, again, your heart is calloused over. God says, if you're ready for me to do something in your life and you're in that rebuild mode, somebody in rebuild mode definitely has to break up that fallow ground. How do you do it? What do you do? Well, let's just go a little further here. Let's just take a little deep. This is good stuff, isn't it? Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay. Y'all wave at me so I know I'm not looking at a picture. Okay. Somebody read that out loud. Say it one more time. I love it. Isn't that cool? Amen. You know, I thought about going to the funeral home. I've already asked them, could I go to the funeral home? And they set up a camera, and I preached my own funeral. Would they roll out a coffin and let me just stand in front of the coffin and preach? And the first thing I'm going to say is, if you see me up here, I'm actually not here. I'm down there. Oh, not in hell, I meant. Down there. Woo! Maybe that's not such a good idea. I might take that one back. All right. So, if you're reading this, God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. So here we go. Get ready. I wrote down the scriptures, so you ain't got to look them up. This is why I remind you, stir up. Rekindle the embers of, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God that inner fire that's in you by the means of the laying on of my hands with the elders of your ordination. stir it up. God didn't say, I'm going to stir it up. God didn't say that somebody else stirred up. God said through Paul to Timothy. Timothy was having a hard time. He was a young man. He had a big responsibility. He was taking over for Paul, and Paul weren't around there. And Paul, he goes somewhere and get locked up. And so there's Timothy trying to take care of all these churches, and they thought he was too young, didn't know what he was doing. They were always beating him up over it. And he said, Timothy, you let your heart get calloused. You let all this stuff take you down. You have to trust God and break up that fallow ground that is within you. So watch this. Get ready. You may feel that your purpose is dead and buried. I want you to listen carefully. There's a difference in burying and planting. When something's dead, you plant it. I wish I had a seed. Anybody got a seed in their pocket? If I had a seed, I'd love this. Here we go. This would be my seed. They found seeds in the pyramids. They were thousands of years old. They took those seeds and they buried them. And they grew. God's give you so many seeds. But if you throw a seed on fallow ground, it's probably just going to stay there. It may come up a little bit. It may be a little bit of sunshine, hope, but it's not going to do good. But if you break up that fallow ground and put that seed, no matter how old it may seem, no matter how bad you think, oh, God can't use me because he gave me that promise years ago and I don't even feel it. I don't even see it. If the pyramids, if you can take seeds out of the pyramids and plant them, don't you know if God's give you a seed, a thought, a hope, a promise, you break up that fallow ground of your heart and let it go down deep and watch what happens. You know what? There's all things in here you think is dead and buried. It's not dead and buried. You need to think about that and say, God, this isn't no longer buried. This is planted. I'm putting it back in the right way. I'm putting it back in fallow ground. I'm going to take the fallow ground. I'm going to break it up. And I'm going to watch you do something special. Watch this. What looks like an end so many times is only a beginning. You know, I told somebody just the other day, they were talking about things that were happening in their life, and they were saying, I don't know how we're going to get through this, and what is God allowing, and I can't believe this is happening. And I told them, I said, here's what you got to do is you got to get your mindset changed. You're looking and you're seeing this stuff as a stop sign. Change your mind. This is not a stop sign. It's a speed bump. A stop sign is there to stop you, to keep you from going forward. A speed bump is there to slow you down so you will look around you and be cautious of what's happening around you. God's saying, I just want you to be cautious. I want you to see what's happening. Because remember, God's got something special. DC, come on up here. You have to keep your focus through the pain to get through the gains. You have to keep your focus through the pain to get those gains. I remember when I hurt my leg a couple of years back and tore the muscle in my leg, and I went through 9 weeks of physical therapy, and the physical therapist told me, said, I know this hurts, but you got to turn toward the pain and you got to stretch. I know that muscle hurts. I know that leg hurts. I know that knee is killing you. But if you don't do what I tell you, you're going to freeze up. And if you freeze up, it's over. You got to keep your focus through the pain to get those gains. This is how we've ended it the last couple of weeks, but there's no way to improve on it. Don't focus on the problems. Because if you focus on your problems, all it does is bring pain. And the greater the pain gets, soon it's nothing but panic. You got to watch it. Focus instead on the promises. Because when you focus on the promise, something special happens. then you begin to realize there's power, that you're not backed in the corner, that it's not over, and you get peace in your heart. There's still a lot of things I look back at now, and I'm still waiting for God to raise it up. I'm still waiting for God to see that seed grow, but I have decided to quit putting periods where God put a comma. God's got this. God's got this. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I remember as a little boy, when I'd get scared, especially at night, I'd always say, if I could just get to my daddy, everything's going to be okay. My daddy's a big man. My daddy can take care of things. He ain't scared of nothing. The prodigal said, I've messed up so bad. If I can just get to my father, I don't even have to be his son anymore. I can be his servant because he takes care of his servants better than I've done now. I've messed up so bad. I'll just be a servant. But if I can just get to my daddy, he'll know what to do. And of course, he put the finest robes on him and made him like a son again. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, first thing I'm going to ask, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the very first thing, the best thing you can do is make it to your daddy. Trust Him. Give your life to Him. Mighty Army this morning said, what do you give to the Father that has everything? He created everything. You give Him you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not going to make an example of you. We can pray out there at your seat right now. It'll be fine. But if you don't know Him, would you stick that hand up and say, I don't know Him. Maybe you're here today and you had that fallow ground begin to take over, and you can see the evidence of a previous harvest, but you can also see the evidence of pain because you see the broken stalks and you see the evidence of the crusting over and the callousing. And you're ready to break that back up so God can use you. The very first thing you're going to have to do is rededicate yourself to God. You're going to have to fan that flame, and the way you fan it is you got to get back in there with Him. Number one, you're going to have to restore that relationship, that want to, that gumption. Draw close to Him, He'll draw close to you. You reach out to God, He'll reach back to you. If your heart has become calloused over, you've got the evidence of the previous harvest and you've got the evidence of pain, and you're needing God to help you break up that fallow ground so God can use you again. You can plant seeds and they'll grow again. With nobody looking around. Nobody. His bow, would you just slip that hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. My fallow ground. I got fallow ground and it's driving me crazy. I got to do something. Maybe you're just here and you're just needing God to help you in that kickstart mode, to help you in that rebuild mode, to do something in your life that only He can do. But just slip that hand up. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. Touch Him, Lord. Touch Him, Lord. Touch Him, Lord. I want us all to pray this together. Father, say it together. Father, I love You. I thank You for being such a wonderful Father. I don't always understand how You do things, but I know that You said it'll always wind up being for good. I ask You right now to help me recommit my life to You. And Lord, help me to break up any foul ground that is in my heart. In the name of Jesus, this day is yours, and I thank you for it. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, if anybody needs to come up and pray, the altars are open. You want to come up and pray, the altars are open. It's not a problem. And we're going to pray for a friend, too. Oh. Okay.
He's having open heart surgery Wednesday. His son's in prison.
Okay. And he can't be there. All right, there's a father that's having open heart surgery, and you must have got this Thursday night.
Yep.
Okay, Thursday night we're in prison. This young man, his father's name is Edward, and he's going to be having open heart surgery this week, and he can't be there with him. But he asked Stephen, would he pray for him? So he get the church to pray. So we're going to do what he asked Stephen to do. All right, y'all remember we're going to talk to God about Edward and how God's going to touch his heart. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for Edward. We thank you for his son. Ask you right now, Lord, touch both of them. Let them feel your comfort. Let them feel your power. Let them feel your anointing. Let them feel your healing power in the name of Jesus. You were able, God. You were able, God, to touch greater than we ever could imagine in the name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you for it. Right now, for Edward having success in this surgery, and that his son gets out of prison and can go to him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay.
We need to break the chain of pain. Penny.
Okay. It smells good. It's from Jerusalem. In a car. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you, God, that you're in total 100% control. You are Abba Father. And God, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch Penny. Break this chain of pain. In the name of Jesus. We know you can do it. We believe it. Send your Holy Spirit there not only to comfort her, but to heal her. And Lord, we want to know that at this hour she's going to say something special happened. And we know where it came from. It came from you. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen, bro. Hey, y'all hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. Oh, I didn't see you. I'm sorry.
I want to stand in for Georgia. She's hurt her leg bad while they were gone.
Okay.
And she's having to have a bunch of tests and stuff done.
Okay. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch Georgia. Let her feel your power. Let her feel your anointing. Let her know, God, that you're alive and well, Lord, and you are working in her midst, Lord. Father, from top of her head to the soles of her feet, you know where this origin of this pain is from. And Father, we know, Lord, that you can take care of it. We curse it in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, because the gifts of healing are still alive and well and are still working in our midst. And we know, God, that your Holy Spirit roams this place, Father. And we thank you, God, for ministering to her right now. Let her feel it. Let her know it. Let her be comforted in power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 God is good. Look at somebody and tell him God's doing a new work. Now, if your daddy's here, I want you to get by him. Get by your daddy. If your daddy's not here and there's a man here that don't have a youngin', get by him. Go ahead. Everybody get by daddy. Or get by somebody else's daddy if their child's not here. Come up here, Sierra. We're going to have a threefold cord over here. Y'all ready? want to bless our daddies. And if somebody's here that doesn't have any children with them, bless them, all right? They'll be your stand-in daddy for right now. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for all the fathers in this place. Bless them. Anoint them. Use them. Whatever they need in their life, God, bring it to them. Show them comfort. Show them compassion. And we know that you're going to do it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. We're going to put it on Facebook this week. Tell people we're going to start that therapy. Or I don't call it therapy because then we're doing something crazy. We're going to start, I don't even know what to, being there. How about that? That'll be a good thing. Being there on Tuesday nights, starting in about, we're going to put it on Facebook. It'll be about in 2 weeks. We're going to start this being there. It's actually called mindfulness, cognitive behavioral therapy. We're not going to call it that because that's a mouthful and everybody thinks, where's God in all this? God's all of this. He's got to understand. So we're just going to start being there. How about that? We'll think of another name eventually, being there in a couple of weeks on Tuesday nights. It'll last approximately 8 weeks. It will help you if you're having problems with depression, if you're having problems with PTSD, having problems with CTSD. It'll help you with this. Y'all know the difference between PTSD and CTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorder is usually from a car wreck or maybe a rape victim or you've witnessed a terrible crime or a murder. You might have PTSD. If you're overseas and you're fighting, you can fight for 18 months and never get PTSD and just see one thing, your buddy get blown up beside you, and then it's over. PTSD takes over. It takes one event for PTSD. CTSD is complex traumatic stress disorder. That's usually a child that's been abused, a spouse that's been abused. They've had constant pain and constant abuse. Those people, the CTSD, even though they're similar, they're definitely different, the causes are different, and there's some different ways you handle it. But what we're going to do is, this is not a cure-all, but over the next 8 weeks, you will find relief. How many would like to just find some relief? Okay? So, starting in a couple of weeks, we're going to put it on Facebook, on our church page. We'll put it up on the sign out front. And again, I'm not sure what to call it yet, but it's going to be awesome, and you're going to find some relief. It may not cure it, but it will definitely help it. I'll say it'll help you by more than 50%. That's just on the low side. I think it'll be a lot higher than that, but it'll really help you. So come on. We're gonna let God. And we're gonna do it through God. We're not gonna do it through some crazy mess. It's gonna be scriptures, and it's gonna be Christian based. And you're gonna like this, and you're gonna learn a lot about God in all of this, because God is the master of psychology. He's the master physician, which means He's the master physician for your brain, for your spirit, for your body. So God is the master physician, and it's going to be awesome. Amen? And tell your friends, because there's some people have been telling me they want to know when it's getting ready to start. I can't remember who even asked. So tell them, and when you see it on the sign, we'll know for sure. But it'll be on Tuesday nights. And it's informal on Tuesday nights. We're over there in that room. We got cookies and popcorn, and we eat and do all this stuff, too. And it's been really, really awesome. But not this week, but it's coming up. Amen? All hearts and minds clear? Brother Doug, will you dismiss us in prayer, please? Father, we can start to